B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Dav Vav, and we're going to start approximately in the middle of Dav Vav Amud Aleph, v'yoytzin al hakilayim. And this takes us back to the Mishnah on Dav Beis Amud Aleph, that on Chol HaMoed, and it's talking about Chol HaMoed Pesach, the agents of the Beis Din would go round, and they would be yoytzim af al hakilayim, which means they would search in the fields to make sure that there was no kilayim growing there, and if there was kilayim growing there, then they would destroy the kilayim, and we'll see in the Gemara what measures they took. Says the Gemara, "Va'kilayim b'chol ha'moed nafkinon." Is it true that the agents of Beis Din would go out and check for the kilayim on chol ha'moed, referring to chol ha'moed Pesach? Or aminu, this seems to contradict what we learned elsewhere, that be'echod ba'ador mashmien al ashkolim v'al hakilayim, that the Mishnah writes that in Maseches Shkolim, that on Rosh Chodesh Ador, the first of Ador, they would call out and tell people, make sure that there's no issue of kilayim in your fields. And kilayim is different vegetations and crops that are not allowed to be grown together. And we're not going here into all the details of which types of kilayim are do'iraisa, which types of kilayim are do'rabonon. It's a discussion exactly which kilayim we're talking about. But on the first of Adar, they would call out and tell people, check that there's no kilayim in your fields. And also mashmin al hashkolim, they would tell people to remember that it's soon time to bring your new shekels to the Beis HaMikdosh for the next year's korbonis, which would start at the beginning of Nisan. And that we learnt about in Maseches Shkolim at length. B'chamisha osor boy, on the 15th of Adar, which is a month before the onset of Pesach, k'irin es ha-megillah b'krochim, then on certain cities they would read the Megillah. Those cities that had walls around from the times of Yeshua bin Nun, they were called the Krochim, Hamukofin Choymom Yemois Yeshua bin Nun. They would lay in the Megillah on the 15th of Adar, not the 14th. V'yoytzin lekavitz es adrochim. They would also go out on the 15th of Adar to clear away the thorns from that were on the roads, that were getting in people's way, ulesakin harochoivois, and to fix the streets and the places where the public were gathering. Velomud hamikvois, they would measure to make sure that the mikvois had the necessary 40 saw of water in it. Voisin kol tzorchei rabim, and they would do they would tend to all the needs of the public. Umetzainin es hakvois, and they would mark the graves. V'yotzin al hakilayim, and the agents of the Beis Din would go out and make sure there's no kilayim in the fields. When did they do all these things? On the 15th of Adar. And here we've got in our Mishnah where we see that Yoytzin al hakilayim on Chol HaMoed, which is Chol HaMoed Pesach, which is a month later. And the Rishonim discuss why the Gemara only asked about kilayim. What about all the other things mentioned in that Mishnah, which also overlap with our Mishnah? But either way, the Gemara chose to ask regarding kilayim, that why are you saying that you go out and you check and destroy the kilayim on Chol HaMoed Pesach, when in truth they went out on the 15th of Nisan, on the 15th of Adar, for the kilayim. Says the Gemara, Belozov Reb Yosi Reb Chanina, Chad Omar Kan Bebochir, Kan Be'ofil. One of them answered that they would go out on the 15th of Adar for the bochir, for those things, for the early crops that were sown and planted earlier. They grew earlier, so the kilayim was evident earlier, so they would go out on the 15th of Adar. Kan Be'ofil, but our Mishnah is talking about the late crops, where they would go out again for the late crops, and they would go out again on Chol HaMoed Pesach. That was one answer. V'chad om, another answer is kan b'zroim, kan b'yorokis. That the zroim, which are the grains, typically they would be ready on the 15th of Adar. One can already see the kilayim. And when it comes to the vegetation, there typically one would see the kilayim on Nisan, and therefore they would go out on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And the Mefarshim explained that it is not about Zeroim versus Yerokis, it's about certain crops that grow in the earlier and some crops that grow later, and just depending on when the crops grow, that is when they would go out. Omer b'yesi, Omer b'yechanon. Lo yishanu elo she'ein nitzon nikar. That these times that they would go on the 15th of Adar or on Chol HaMoed Pesach is only when the sprouts were not recognizable earlier. Aval nitzon nikar, But in the event that the sprouts of the new crops were already visible, then Yetzin Alein, they would go out and remove the kilayim even before these dates. Asks the Gemara, Maishna b'choylei shel moed denafkinon. From our Mishnah, it seems they would go out of their way and make sure to send the agents of the Beis Din to check the fields for kilayim on chol moed. It has to be dafka on chol moed. It can't be a couple of days earlier, a couple of days later. Why did they seem to choose chol moed as an opportune time? Omer Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum schar p'ula de moiz li gabon. Because the amount you have to pay for workers on chol moed, where otherwise they would not be working, is cheaper, is less than what labor would cost. Not during chol moed, when people will generally be working, and then for them to come and go through the fields and check kilayim would be more costly. Omer Reb Zvid, v'itaim Reb Masharshia, either Reb Zvid or Reb Masharshia commented on what Reb Yochanan had just said, Shema Minah, from the fact that we're looking that the labor of the agents of the Beis Din should be cheaper, and hence we sent them on Chol HaMoed, it seems from there that ki yavinon lehu sachar, that when we pay them for their wages, for their work, for checking the fields, mitrumas halishka yavinon lehu, it seems it was taken from the funds that were taken from the trumas from the lishka, from a special chamber where the money belonging to the public was put. Because in the event, had it been true that it wasn't the public funds that were paying, but rather the people who had the kilayim would have to pay for these agents to come round and remove the kilayim, then my nafkalon minayu. Then what's the difference if they go on chol moed or before or after chol moed? Kol kama debo, as much as those agents are going to ask for their wages, for their pay, litenhu, that's how much the people have to pay. They've got an avera. They've done something which is not right. Having kilayim in their fields, they should jolly well pay for it, and we're not looking to make it cheaper for them. The fact that we're looking for a cheap time, it is apparent that it's coming from public funding. Asks the Gemara of Ad Kamo, how much kilayim has to grow in order for there to be an issue, in order that you should be required to get rid of those extra crops that were growing in a field of a different type? Omer Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchok, Ka'oiso Sheshaninu, this is the measure that we learnt in a Mishnah in Kilayim, that Kol So Sheyeshbo Roiva Zera Mimin Achir, if you have a measure of a So, which has a quarter of a, which is one kav, a quarter of a kav, which is a 24th of a So, Mimin Achir, from a different type, then you have to get rid of the, you have to get rid of the kilayim. So we see that the measure of kilayim, which is an issue that needs to be destroyed, is a 24th, the ratio of a quarter of a kav to a saw. Asks the Gemara, and you're suggesting, and what we just learned now, that the agents would come and be mamayit, and they would take away the kilayim and get rid of it, providing that it's got that amount, it's a 24th of the rest of the crops, which is kilayim. V'otanya, did we not learn in a braisa, hiskinu sheyehu mafkirin kol asodei kula? Did we not learn in a braisa that the agents of Beis Din would declare the entire field and everything growing in it as ownerless, because there's kilayim growing in it, and it's an avera to grow kilayim? And here you're saying, you might, that they would just remove the kilayim itself? Says the Gemara Loi Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Kan koidim takona, kan la'achar takona. There were actually different stages of the decree and what they would do with the kilayim. At first, they would just be yamayit, they would take away the kilayim. At some point, and we'll soon see why, at some point they decreed, the Chachomim said, that if there's kilayim in a field, we're going to declare the entire content of the field as being ownerless. Tanya, as we learned in Ebraisa, Barishoino at first, Hayu Oikrin, the agents of the Beis Din, would just uproot the kilayim, umashlichin lifnei behemtom, and just leave them there, throw the kilayim in front of the animals. V'hoyu balabatim, and the owners of the fields, were smeichim shtei simchois, they had two reasons to be happy. Number one, achas, shemenachshim lem sodoiseim, that when they were taking out the kilayim, the field would get weeded, automatically the field would get clean of anything that's not supposed to be growing there, and what is supposed to be growing there will grow better. V'achas, and another reason, shemashlichin lifnei behemtom, that the work of having to put the growth, the plants, in front of the animals and feed the animals is being done by the agents of the Beis Din. So they were very happy with this deal. And therefore, iskinu the chachamim made the takona sheyu oikrin, that the agents would merely uproot the kilayim umashlichin al adrochim, and they wouldn't throw it in front of the animals; they would throw it onto the roads, where it would just get trampled. Vadayin hoyu smeichim simcha gadoila, and they were still very happy shemenachshin sodesem, that at least their fields were getting weeded. And after that, hence hiskinu sheyu mafkirin kol asode kula. The chachamim said that if the agents find kilayim in a field, they can declare the entire content of the field as ownerless, and that way, hopefully, it will prevent people from growing kilaim. Says the next Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Moishchin es ha-mayim, one's allowed to draw water from the base of one tree, me'ilon le'ilon, to the base of another tree, on choil ha-moed, because the trees need the water, and therefore the trees, even if the whole field is a base habal that doesn't need the water so much, but the trees do need the water, and therefore they have the status of base ha-shlochin, and you're allowed to water base ha-shlochin on choil ha-moed, as we saw at the beginning of the perek. Uvilvad, on condition, shelo yashkes kol asode. Since the rest of the field is not considered a beis hashlochin, it's a beis habal, it's a field which is naturally irrigated or naturally watered and doesn't need man to interfere and to irrigate the fields, you're not allowed to water the rest of the field on chol hamoed. Another halacha, says the Mishnah, zroim shelo yishosu lifnei hamoed. Those plants, those crops that had not been watered, that before Yom Tov, before Chol HaMoed, lo yashkam b'moed, then they are not so thirsty for the water yet, and therefore one's not allowed to water them on Chol HaMoed. The Chachomim Matirim, the Chachomim argued with Elazar ben Yaakov and said, Matirin b'zeh u'b'zeh. In both of the above mentioned halachas, also in a field where there's trees, the Chachomim say you're allowed to water the entire field, even though it's a beis habal, and we already saw that this was Reb Meir's opinion on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that you're even allowed to water a beis habal. And also, the Chachomim said that the Zroim, even those that had not received water before Chol HaMoed, are allowed to be watered on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara Omer of Yehuda, that this that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov said, that you're not allowed to water the rest of the field because it has the status and it is a stay base habal, it doesn't need the water. If, however, if it was a field that was naturally moist and now it got dried up, so now, even though this field doesn't normally need to be irrigated, but it is lacking moisture and water and will get ruined if you don't water it, in that case, mutter, even Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov will say you're allowed to water that field. Tanina mihochi, we also saw a brisa to this effect. When the Chachomim said you're not allowed to water Beis Habal on Chol HaMoed, they only said that regarding those plants that had not been watered before the Yom Tov, before Chol HaMoed. But those plants that had already received water before Chol HaMoed, mutar lashgoisan b'moed, you're allowed to continue watering them on Chol HaMoed because they are needy of this water. And if this was a naturally moist field, then even though you didn't water it before Yom Tov, but it was naturally moist, and now on Chol HaMoed it's dried up, mutar, you're allowed to water it on Chol HaMoed. Ve'ein mashkin sode grid b'moed, a field which is a naturally dry field and doesn't need the water so much, you're not allowed to water it on Chol HaMoed. Ve'chachomim matirin b'zeh u'b'zeh. The Chachomim said also in a sode, which is grid, which is a dry field, you're allowed to water on Chol HaMoed. And also the Zroim, those plants, even though they were not watered before Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to water them on Chol HaMoed. Omer Ravina. Ravina said, Shema Mino, it's now apparent that Hai Tarvitza, this patch, the garden patch, Shori Le Tarvutze, you're allowed to sprinkle water on it, B'chola De Moyoda, on Chol HaMoed. Even though there's no pseida, because once the Chachomim say matirin b'zeh u'b'zeh, that you're allowed to water a dry field and those plants, even though they had not been watered before Chol HaMoed, even though if you don't water them, it's not going to cause a loss. So if that's allowed, then you're allowed to sprinkle water on Chol HaMoed, even to a patch in the garden that if you don't sprinkle the water there, it will not get ruined. B'chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Why? Stay grid, a dry field, My tama, why did the Chachomim say you're allowed to water it? Da'afla mashri lo charfa. Because even though it wouldn't be a loss if you didn't do it, but it will be beneficial to the field. It will cause the crops that would have come out later to come out earlier. Hochanami, so too, in this patch of the garden, afla mashri lo charfa. It will be beneficial. It won't be a loss if you don't do it. But if you do it, it will be beneficial that the whatever's growing there will grow a little bit sooner, and therefore you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon. Marbitzin stei lovon, one's allowed to sprinkle water on a stei lovon, which has the status of a base habal, which doesn't really need the water so much, and you're allowed to do that on Shemitah, avaloi b'moed, but you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Asks the Gemara of Otanya, did we not learn in another braisa, marbitzin, you are allowed to sprinkle water, bein b'moed, bein b'shvias, you're allowed to do that not only in Shemitah, also on Chol HaMoed. Omer Ravuna loy kasher, Ravuna says that the contradiction between the two braises is not a question. Hora b'loza ben Yaakov, the braisa that says that on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to is the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said that you're not allowed to water the whole field, which, as we saw in our Mishnah, and Hor Rabbonon, and the braisa that says you are allowed to sprinkle water on this field, even though it has the status of a beis habal, is the opinion of the Chachomim, and the Chachomim said at the end of the Mishnah, Matirin Bezeh Ubezeh, that you're allowed to sprinkle water even though it's not to avoid to avoid loss and damage. Tani Idach, we learnt in another braisa, Marbitzin stei lovon, that you're allowed to sprinkle water on a stei lovon, which again is a field which has the status of a beis habal, it doesn't really need the water to survive. Erev Shvias, you're allowed to do that before Shemitah, kedei sheyetzu yirokos b'shvias, in order that the vegetables that are growing there on Shemitah should be watered. That means you're allowed to do the act of watering before the Shemitah. V'loy oid, not only that, you're also allowed to water this field during Shemitah if the intention is in order that the vegetables that will be ready after Shemitah in the eighth year, which is the first year of the next cycle, will then be ready to be eaten. And Rashi adds in that you're not allowed to water a field on Shemitah in order to use what's going to grow there, the vegetables, during Shemitah. That's already beyond what you're allowed to be doing during Shemitah. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to learn the next Mishnah.